We see heating breakthroughs clearing the air for billions. At Emerson, when issues become inspiration, creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
Here's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The spread of the coronavirus in the U.S. has sent people racing to be tested, forced them to work from home, and stock up on cleaning supplies. It raises the question, who's paying for all this?
A lot of people have been talking about how things like hand sanitizer, face masks, these are protective pieces that people are running to purchase now. You could likely reach out to your flexible spending account or your health savings account and include these. It's not something that insurers are encouraging people to do. For the time being, they're telling them to think of them as personal expenses.
That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Coming up, she'll talk about the personal finance impact of the coronavirus and explain how consumers might benefit from the Fed lowering interest rates. That's next.
If you reminisce about the good old days, when tax compliance was merely absurdly complex, it's time. Yes, it's time for Avalara's powerful tax automation technology. Avalara simplifies sales tax with real-time tax rate calculations and automatic return filing. Avalara's software automatically integrates with hundreds of accounting, e-commerce, and point-of-sale systems like yours. Simply put, Avalara is tax compliance done right. Find out more at avalara.com/WSJ. That's avalara.com/WSJ.
Between testing for coronavirus, buying hand sanitizer, and stocking up on supplies in the event of self-quarantine, being prepared can be expensive. But do consumers have to foot the bill? Let's bring in Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter for some answers. So Julia, a big question I'm sure people have is, what does it cost to get tested?
What we know right now is that testing is going to be free in public health laboratories. That's provided by the CDC. But if you're getting tested somewhere that's outside of that scope, then you'll have to see if it's covered by your insurance.
And in some cases, states have stepped forward and said to the insurance companies, you can't charge consumers out-of-pocket costs.
New York is one of those states. New York announced earlier this week that health insurers will have to waive out-of-pocket costs related to testing.
And this can be where in-network versus out-of-network hospital selection can be important.
We still don't know what's going to happen for people who are uninsured or for people who are in out-of-network hospitals or in out-of-network, seeing out-of-network providers. We do know that for people in-network, they're probably going to be viewing this just like they would any other kind of care.
People are also spending a lot of money on retail products for protection. Is any of that reimbursable?
So a lot of people have been talking about how things like hand sanitizer, face masks, these are protective pieces that people are running to purchase now. You could likely reach out to your flexible spending account or your health savings account and include these. It's not something that insurers are encouraging people to do. For the time being, they're telling them to think of them as personal expenses.
And the fears over the virus are really disrupting people's travel schedules. I would imagine a lot of cancellations.
A ton of cancellations. People canceling their own travel and airlines canceling planned travel. And the difference between that is that if the airline cancels your flight, you're eligible to be reimbursed. If you decide to cancel your flight, that's really determined, or how you will be reimbursed is determined by the terms of your travel insurance policy.
Well, United Airlines, for one, says it's going to cut back on domestic and international flights in April because of reduced demand. You know, we're also seeing thousands of people being forced to self-quarantine at home. And that can result in a lot of missed work. Who's paying for that?
Yeah, there's definitely a personal cost. You know, if you are an hourly worker or somebody without sick leave, that you're missing work, that's a personal cost to you. Some people have to arrange childcare depending on where they're quarantined or how sick they are. But there's also a problem in terms of how rare paid sick leave actually is. So while many countries provide or guarantee sick leave for their workers, America's not one of those countries. So depending on the policy in place at your workplace, that's something that experts are encouraging people to examine to see whether or not them being sick results in them losing pay, or if that's something that their workplace allows them to do in order to keep the workplace safe as well.
And some workplaces are redrawing up their rules regarding sick leave to manage this concern over the virus.
Yeah, and I mean, related to self-quarantine, too, I was speaking with somebody yesterday who said that she has been encouraging workplaces to revise their work from home or their remote work policies to encourage people to take advantage of that if they're not feeling well or if they're worried about contaminating the workplace or being in a contaminated workplace. But there are some jobs where remote work just isn't possible. If you're a service worker or if you work in an industry that doesn't have that option, then it gets much trickier.
You know, Julia, these preparations for the virus have moved us into a new realm of personal finance. The markets are, you know, gyrating up and down. The Federal Reserve this week with its emergency rate reduction, and the rate on the 10-year Treasury notes hits a record low. How can consumers benefit from this?
So when we see the yield on the U.S. 10-year drop, we see a lot more interest in refinancing because people are expecting mortgage rates to go down and they're wondering how much money they could potentially save in refinancing. What I was learning in the course of reporting this is that it's really up to the particular individual. So it depends on how long you're going to stay in your house. It depends on the rate you already have on your current mortgage. It requires just doing some math, seeing when that makes sense, how much the monthly payment payments and the change in the monthly payments will actually affect you.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Julia, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.